want to celebrate the Lord's table together, taking extra efforts these days just to ensure that the Lord's table doesn't feel like something that's tacked on to the end of a service or not like a meal that we have to rush through, but rather a meal that we can savor and enjoy together. We want to use it to keep a focus in our church that is very important to us, which is a focus on the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe that what a plumb line is to a builder, the cross is to Christians. So when you're building a house, you need a plumb line, something that you know is straight, and then you measure everything else against there to ensure straightness. And if you ever begin to wonder, am I still straight? Am I still on track? You have to have something to measure it against. What a ruler is to an architect or a blueprint to a contractor, or what a compass is to a hiker, the cross is to Christians. I spend a fair amount of time back in the mountains and been in some times where a whiteout has descended on the mountains, and you actually can't see what you once saw. So you need something to find your bearings, something that in the worst of weather is going to point true north. And for us as Christians, that's what the cross is that regardless of the weather, regardless of the circumstances, the trials and the tribulations, if you ever feel like you're just losing your focus, you don't have a clear answer to the what is it all about question, why am I doing this question, our compass that keeps us going true north is the cross. We look to it again and we reflect on it and we find our way. Many years ago, the Lord spoke to me and foretold or showed me what was coming, that I was going to go through a period of wilderness that would produce a deeper brokenness in me. I've been through many, many cycles of that in my years of knowing Him. And to be perfectly honest, when I felt like He showed me that this particular, another cycle was going to come again, I did have some excitement about the prospect, only because I'd been through similar cycles before. And as unpleasant as they may have seemed at the time, they always produced in me a harvest of righteousness. I loved what they produced in me. It was like there was a place I wanted to get to in Christ, and I couldn't get there. And it was some of these periods that God allowed me, which were very difficult and even trying to the soul, ended up bringing me to the very place I wanted to get to in Him and didn't know how to get to otherwise. And it would produce things in me that I wanted to and didn't know how to gain access and to those things. And so I grew to have an appreciation for such periods of my life. So when the Lord told me this, another one was coming up, again, I had a sense of excitement and I guess a sense of hope. But this period ended up becoming a little longer than I'd anticipated. I ended up going a little deeper than I'd anticipated. It ended up being a little harder and more trying than I'd anticipated. And I made some very poor decisions that were birthed in pain. One day I remember the very place, the very room I was in. And I said to the Lord, Lord, up to this point I've said, not my will, but thine be done. And I made a poor decision, but I said, I can't pray that anymore. A very poor decision indeed. But in hindsight, I now see clearly the reason why that period got out of control, why it grew as hard as it was. And it's because of this, I had lost the joy of the Lord in it. I want us to give consideration to a passage of Scripture. We're not going to just read it. We are going to enter into it. We are going to practice it. That's Hebrews chapter 12, verses 2 to 3. So let's do it as we read it. Let's read it thoughtfully, reflectively. It's about Jesus and His cross. And it certainly has relevance to us, the cross that we get called to bear. You will only ever make sense of the cross you're called to bear by first understanding Jesus and his cross. It makes no sense otherwise. So it begins, let us fix our eyes on Jesus. Which is why I say, let's don't just read it, let's practice this text. Let's fix our eyes on Jesus. We're doing this as a preparation for the Lord's table. You could say our entire John series. This is why we're doing it. It's so that Sunday by Sunday we come and we fix our eyes where they ought to be. We fix our eyes on Jesus. Because he is the author and the perfecter of our faith. He started it and he will see us through to the end. He's the originator of our faith, but he will see us right through to the final. When we look to him and to look to him on the cross, we see this. We see that he was one who, for the joy set before him, endured the cross. I'd lost that. Scorning its shame. And he sat down at the right hand of God. So there were two elements in Christ and his cross. There was joy, not in the suffering, but out ahead of him. It was set before him. And there was endurance. He endured the cross. The joy was twofold. And one of the beautiful things in this passage, the joy was knowing that on the other side, he would sit down at the right hand of the throne of God. He would sit down. There's rest. And before we go through our times, there's anxiety and there is strife and striving. But on the other side, we sit down. There's rest for our souls. We sit down of all places at the right hand of God. We enjoy God's favor. And we have a place in God's presence. So here's Jesus on his cross. And as painful as it is, there's a joy set before him of what the yield is for the suffering. What's coming on the other side? What it's going to produce in him? Being returned to his Father's presence. Sometimes when you're going through a bit of a wilderness or a bit of cross experience yourself, you feel like Jesus did on the cross. My Father, why hast thou forsaken me? Where is the strong presence of God in this time? But the joy set before us is that on the other side, sit down at the right hand of your Father. Strong sense of the Father's favor and strong sense of the Father's intimacy and of his presence. Goes on to say, consider him. So that's what we're doing at communion there. We're considering Jesus. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinful men. If you consider him, consider his cross, then you will not grow weary and lose heart in what you might be walking through. I said there were two elements to Jesus' cross. There was joy and there was endurance. This particular period the Lord called me through, I totally lost sight of the joy. I had no joy in front of me. I lost focus completely. So all I was left with was the other element, endurance. I turned it into one long feat of joyless endurance. And over time, when I realized what I'd done, I asked the Lord to rectify this. Restore the joy, Lord. May there be a joy set before me. There was a joy set before him. May there be a joy that's set before me. That once again I'd get a sense of hope again of what might come on the other side. I'd get a sense of excitement again of what you might use this to produce in me. And the Lord, through considering Jesus, through fixing my eyes on him and the cross, restored to me, gave me back again a joy set before me. And I'll tell you, I'm glad he did, because when I came out of that period, I'll tell you what, I came out, sat down at the right hand of my Father. I came out in such a strong presence of God. I came out aware of knowing a favor that was on me all along, but I just seemed to be cold to, oblivious to. But when I came out of that, I It felt like all heaven had filled my soul. Asking a dear friend to come and give a little bit of a testimony this morning that might be along these lines. Can I get the mic? Pastor John Murdo.
This might get a little bit messy this morning. I'm glad there's cloths all around me. Probably for the last year or so, I've just had a real heaviness in my heart, and a lot of it has had to do with my sort of upbringing and time in Scotland and ministry experience there. And I thought I was over that. And the messages that Todd's been preaching these last number of months, I was saying to myself, don't go there. I just do not want to deal with this stuff of the heart. And I was sort of fighting tooth and nail against it. But God will not let you away when he's on your case. And I was basically losing hope, and I was losing faith. And when he preached that sermon on the healing of the man at the pool of Bethesda, I thought, that was me. He had 38 years of disappointment. I haven't been a Christian for 38 years, but I've been alive for 49 almost. And it just seemed disappointment after disappointment, and I was losing it. And I remember, I think it was the Sunday after, the message he was preaching on brokenness and how Jesus' body was broken for us and how brokenness produces blessedness. And I was just finding that so, so hard to take. And Nathan got up and Nathan shared where he's at just now. And I must say that touched my heart as well. And but that particular Sunday, I didn't want to come to church. I said, God, I'm done. I can't go there anymore. I can't do this stuff for the heart. I can't spare another message. It's like another nail in me, and I don't want to go there. But the Lord was working that Sunday, and a dear friend came up and sat with me at the end of the service, and we couldn't speak two intelligible words together because we just cried. Two men in brokenness crying, and you know, there was such healing in that, and I just felt the love of God just beginning to wash over me again, and my joy started coming back. And just the last week or so, I've been meeting up with a friend for prayer, and I just feel more life and hope and vision coming back for me again. The vision I'd lost for ministry, I engrossed myself in the workplace that I'm at just now, and I love working there, but my vision for ministry was gone. But God's restoring my joy and my hope. The Psalm 51 says, restore to me the joy of thy salvation. And that's happening again. And a broken place is a good place to be because God is on your case. And when you're broken, God can heal you. And sometimes he's got to bring you rock bottom. I was at that stage 2 weeks ago. I don't want to go to River of Life anymore. Not because of the people there. Because of me, I didn't want to deal with this wounding and rejection of the heart over many years. And God did something that Sunday. So if you're feeling brokenness today, I'm pleased for you. Because God is going to do something. And he's going to bring you to a place of healing and wholeness. That you'll be able to smile in the face of adversity and say that I know my Redeemer lives. During this period of time I've been going through the last year, one particular week was so, so bad. And Saturday, it was a Saturday I remember so clearly, and a man phoned me at night. He says, I've been working in the garden all day, and the Lord's given me a scripture for you, and it says, I know that my Redeemer lives. That week was the only scripture I could think of for my own life. Nothing else was bringing me hope or peace. And I was saying to God, that's the only thing I believe just now. I don't know about church, I don't know about people, I don't know about ministry, he says, but I know that you live, I know that you're here. And a word from the Lord through a friend. I would encourage you today, if God is speaking a scripture to you for somebody else, bring it to them. Don't be ashamed, don't feel foolish. Because you could be the blessing that that person needs today, at this service, or sometime during this week.
Let's read this again. The word of God is a light. Shows us the way forward. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus. The author and the perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross. He said, if that's what's going to come out of this, then I'll go through it. Scorning its shame. And afterwards he sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him. Lord, we consider you. Who endured such opposition from sinful men. If we consider him and what he went through so that we will not grow weary and lose heart. One more text I'd like us just to consider. Hosea chapter 6. I'm just going to... You probably know a little bit of the story of Hosea, a time of unfaithfulness amongst God's people. So they came under discipline. And then Hosea prophesies this. Their hearts had been far from God. Come, let us return to the Lord. He has torn us. They'd been under some real discipline. But he will heal us. He has injured us. In other words, boy, that hurt. But he will bind up our wounds. After 2 days, he will revive us. On the third day, sounds like the cross. He will restore us. What's coming? So that we may live in his presence. So Father, we pray these, whatever has happened that may have torn us, you'd heal us. Whatever has caused injury, you'd bind up our wounds. Whatever has caused deadness, you'd revive us. Whatever we've lost, you'd restore us. So that we might live in your presence. No separation from you whatsoever. St. Paul said, for I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, how that the Lord Jesus Christ, on the night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and having given thanks, he broke it. And said, this is my body broken for you. Take and eat. After supper, he also took the cup. Having given thanks, he said, this is the cup of the new covenant. My blood shed for the remission of your sins. Take and drink. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death. You proclaim the cross until he comes again. I'd like to ask the worship leaders back again, whoever's helping me. The Bible says that before we eat of this bread, before we drink of this cup, that we should first examine ourselves to make sure that we are not eating and drinking in an unworthy manner, because there are consequences for doing so. To eat and drink in an unworthy manner is dangerous. Paul says because of those people who have done that, some of them are weak, some of them were sick, and some people had even died for going to the Lord's table wrongly. And for us, unworthy means this: when grace is offered to us, not to take it. When he's offered to remit our sins and cleanse us, remove them from us, to decline that, to not take that. Would be to do this in an unworthy manner. There's a grace that is on offer to us. So we see cleansing. It's a cleansing table, a cleansing pool. I know that I do not have to go out with everything I came in with. So we're going to sing a confessional song, Psalm 53, and use it as our time of confession.
Oh.
us that before we come to this table, Lord, anything in our lives, our thoughts, our hearts, our practice that is displeasing to you, that is inconsistent with knowing you, we repent of, we turn from, we leave behind, and we seek cleansing of. We know, Lord, that we cannot do both. We cannot eat of this table and still seek to hold to our sin. So we let it go freely, because we do not want to eat and drink in an unworthy manner. Your word says that to walk worthy of the calling wherewith we have been called. A holy calling, a special calling to know Jesus, to belong to Him. So we bring ourselves back to that plumb line. Anything in us that is unworthy of you, we turn from. But the Lord, just seek our hearts. And if you feel like, oh Lord, I'm just not ready to do that yet, I recommend you may just want to just spend the time of prayer. Don't come to this table otherwise. In my Christian walk, numbers of times I've just had to let the plate go by. I'd had to do a little heart work with the Lord first. I wasn't going to make a mockery of a holy thing. I'd like to ask the servers to come forward, please. And Ryan and Pastor Bill. Ryan, the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, broken for you, and His blood willingly poured out for you. Pastor Bill, the body of Jesus, broken in His life blood shed. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah.
Create in me a clean heart. cast me not away from your presence, O Lord, and take not your Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of your salvation, and renew a right spirit within me.
You've abandoned your heart and life to the person of Christ. If it's been your decision to believe upon Him, to follow Him all the days of your life, we want to welcome you to come to this communion table. If you're a visitor, or don't normally take communion with us, but you've examined yourself and you believe in Jesus, love Him and serve Him, you are very welcome. This is a family dinner table. Come and enjoy this with us. If you're here today and don't yet know the Lord Jesus, and you think, but I really want to get to know Him. There's something that He's saying to me today. There's something that's happening. I'm going to actually ask you if over by this You Shall Seek Me banner, if John Murdo would stand over there. Just go to Him and say, I want to know Jesus. And He'll pray with you there. After you return to your seats, please keep worshiping, and then at the end we'll have a corporate profession of faith. We're going to sing the Lord's Prayer together just before we close our time.
Baby. commands my destiny. No power of hell, no scheme of man can ever pluck me from his hand till he returns or calls me home. Here in the power of Christ I stand.
No guilt in life.
No guilt in life, no fear in death. This is the power of Christ in me. From life's first cry to final breath, Jesus commands my destiny. No power of hell, no scheme of
stations open. If we can serve you in any way, come pray for you and bless you. Sure love to do that. We're going to sing a corporate profession of faith, the Lord's Prayer. It's one of those expressions of our faith that binds together all who truly know and love the Lord. Let's sing it this morning. Oh, I'm sorry. That was your corporate expression. Are you looking at each other like, what are we going to do? Sorry. Wrong service. Just like to keep these guys hopping. In Christ alone was that for them. We won't be singing the Lord's Prayer. Next time. That make you nervous? At least you don't have to like write the lyrics. Like how hard could it be? Carol, you wanna? This is called Saving Todd's Bacon. Carol, you want to lead us?
We could start it. Just give us a key.
I think that John Murdo's story was in some ways representative of other people. He talked about how hard the year's been, but how that even the last week there's been a turning. It feels like now he's entered into the benefit of what he's been through. In fact, he told me a couple nights ago we were together, he said, if our whole reason from coming to Scotland and coming to Lethbridge, I found it. I got it now. It makes sense. Note for many of you. I think you're going to experience a similar kind of turning. Okay. From sorrow into joy. I noticed even 2-3 weeks ago before I preached the message on brokenness, before I opened my mouth in the service, I could feel God's deep dealings with people. And today I could just feel the heavens being lifted and the worship through the roof, lightness and joy. So for many of you, there's already of a turning, and you can feel that. The benediction. May the Lord bless you. May He keep you. May He cause for His face to shine upon you. May He lift up the light of His countenance upon you and give you His profound peace. In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Be sure to linger a little bit, particularly if there's someone you don't recognize. Please take a moment for people and go and say hi and make them feel welcome. Bless you.